We are here. We are at the end of the Torah, but we know that when we finish the Torah, we don't call it finishing, we call it completing. How does the Torah give its final parasha? What is the name? What's happening inside? Well, let's delve into Zot HaBaracha. This is the bracha. How appropriate that the final parasha is called Zot HaBaracha. We just learned last week how incredible the Torah is and how much bracha it gives. What is the bracha? What does a person do before they pass away? They want to accomplish so many things. Moshe, before he passes away, he wants to ensure that he gives the bracha, the blessing to the people. Where was Moshe eventually going to be buried? What is he saying to the people? How does he gather them? What are the last words in the Torah? Let's delve together into this week's parasha. When God commanded Moshe, ascend the Mount Nebo, which is the place that he was eventually passing away on, and there you will die. The Malach HaMavet, the angel of death, thought that he had permission to take Moshe's soul. He flew down and hovered over Moshe, but when Moshe saw him, he grabbed him and cast him down to the ground. God assured me that you have no power over me. Stand by and listen while I bless the tribes. Moshe wanted to continue what Jacob had done many years earlier. Jacob, before dying, he gave his blessing to the 12 tribes, and now it was Moshe. The Torah here calls Moshe a man of God, Ish HaElokim. This title was bestowed upon him only after he blessed the Jews, since one who defends and praises the Jewish people is elevated by God Almighty. How do we look upon other people? Do we have a positive eye? Do we have a great eye? Do we want to look for the best? Are you happy when something else happens to somebody else or only when it happens to yourself? Moshe is a caring person. His blessing was superior to all those of all the people before him and even to the blessings of the forefathers. Why? Because he was on a higher level. Many daughters, Rabot Banota Suchael, have performed valiantly, says King Solomon in Mishlei, but you excelled over them all. Scripture over there refers to Moshe, who was greater even than the forefathers. Moshe begins with praising God, describing how he revealed himself at Har Sinai to give the Torah, and he also highlights the Jewish people's greatness for all generations. Only they, these people that were there at that time, were willing to accept the Torah, and therefore they were worthy of his blessing. It kind of brings home, whenever you want to give a blessing to somebody, before you give the blessing, take a moment, think. Firstly, wow, I'm at this stage. Secondly, thank God that you have the ability to give the blessing. And only then think about their great attributes and what you want to bless them. Bring God, obviously, into it by thanking God. That improves the blessing that you're about to give. Moshe goes through the process of how the Torah was offered to all the nations of the world and only the Jewish people said Naaseh v'Nishma. He then hints to the three essential elements that played a crucial role in the giving of the Torah. There was fire, as it says at Har Sinai. There was smoke all over. There was water, as it says. Also, the heavens dripped. Also, the clouds dripped water. And it was given in a desert land. God wished to teach the Jews that just as these three elements are accessible to all, free of charge, so is the Torah. It's accessible to you, to me, to anyone that's listening out there. The Torah is accessible. And then Moshe blessed the Jewish people that they should merit eternal life in the world to come for having accepted the Torah. He says how amazing the Jewish people are, even if they are in the foreign lands. The tzaddikim, the righteous Jews, cling to God Almighty. Look through history, how we've clung to God through the pogroms and through all the terrible times, the Holocaust and beyond, so many difficult moments that we've had. Despite awful tribulations, the Jews don't forsake the Torah because they maintain the Torah, which Moshe commanded us is an inheritance. Torah tziva lanu Moshe marasha kilat Yaakov, of Yaakov's congregation. We have accepted it. We will never leave it. Our sages tell us that we can read the words marasha as Me'orasa, the bride of the congregation of Yaakov. And Matan Torah, the Jewish people became betrothed to God Almighty. Moshe continues and he says, whenever the entire people are gathered, they are worthy of a special blessing. Therefore, I will now begin to bless them. Reuven, he begins, may Reuven live and not die. May his men be counted among the tribes. In the literal sense, Moshe was referring to the soldiers of the tribe of Reuven who marched in the forefront of the Jewish army during the conquest of the land of Israel. He blessed them that none should fall in battle and that their full numbers should return home. On another level, Moshe's blessing referred to the tribe's founder. May Reuven live in the days of Moshiach and may he not die in the world to come. May his tribe be counted among the Bnei Yisrael. Moshe was referring to a sin and the incident involving Bilhah's tent. In fact, Moshe's blessing helped Reuven attain a share in the world to come. Next up is Shimon. Shimon is not individually blessed by Moshe. Why not? What happened? Moshe didn't grant Shimon his own blessing. He was angry at his tribe because the leader, Zimri, had sinned in Shittim with a Moabite princess, thereby inspiring many of the tribe's people for similar misdeeds. Our forefather Yaakov, in his blessings to his sons, had reproved both Shimon and Levi. Levi subsequently improved, whereas Shimon deteriorated even further. So what's with Shimon, I hear you ask? Well, Moshe alluded to Shimon in Yehuda's blessing when he said, Shema, listen, Hashem, to Yehuda's voice. The word Shema contains the letters of the say of the name Shimon. Furthermore, Shimon's share in Eretz Yisrael consisted of several strips of lands in Yehuda's portion. Why was Shimon allotted territory in Yehuda's portion? Because Yehuda was like a lion and he was the neighbor. Being the neighbor and being in Yehuda's presence would restrain Shimon from further acts of unjustified violence. But also, Shimon being split up would be end up becoming the teachers of Am Yisrael in various parts of the land of Eretz Yisrael. Next up is Yehuda. Moshe prophetically blessed Yehuda because Yehuda was the leading tribe after Reuven. Reuven was the Bechor, but Yehuda was the kings are going to come from Yehuda. He prophesied and he said, the kings who will descend from Yehuda must study Torah all their lives. Vezol Yehuda, and he requested of God that he protect King David and the soldiers in battle. He also prayed for King Yoshiyahu, envisioning that Yoshiyahu would return to God and destroy the idols in Eretz Yisrael. It was because of Moshe's prayers that later on, God accepted Yoshiyahu's teshuvah and promised not to destroy the Beit HaMikdash in his time. Levi was the next blessing. Moshe blessed his own tribe, Levi, and he said, God, you have clothed Aharon, whom you found to be righteous with your Urim v'Tumim. He praised the entire tribe of Levi for being chosen to perform God's service in the Beit HaMikdash. Whenever you tested the tribesmen of Levi, they were perfect. When you put them to the test at the waters of Meir Meriva, they were loyal. Unlike the other Jewish members, the members of Levi didn't challenge Moshe at Meir Meriva, nor did they participate in any of the 10 trials which the Bnei Yisrael were tested, and hence they have a special connection within the Jewish people. The members of Levi didn't worship idols at the golden calf. Rather, they executed all the people that did, and they were the ones that observed the commandments when it needed be the most. Moshe specifically prays that the Levim's possession be blessed. Why? Because he wants them to have minimal amount of involvement in material pursuits. Why? So that they can devote themselves to learning Torah and to serving God correctly. After blessing Levi, whose members performed the service in the Beit HaMikdash, Moshe then addresses Binyamin, for in his territory, the altar and the Holy of Holies of the Beit HaMikdash were to be built. The Beit HaMikdash in Yerushalayim was half in the territory of Binyamin and half in the territory of Yehuda. And here Moshe now blesses Binyamin, and he's blessing him even before Yosef, his older brother, because the Beit HaMikdash that was to be built in Binyamin's portion would be dearer to Hashem, then the Mishkan of Shiloh, which was located in Yosef's portion. He says, Binyamin shall dwell securely because of God's love for him. The descendants of this tribe will dwell securely without fear of the enemy. There is reference to three temples. He shall dwell securely over him. That's the first temple. He hovers over him. Refers to the second temple where the presence of the Shekhinah was much diminished. God's presence was diminished. And finally, as the verse says, and he dwells between his shoulders, alludes to the Beit HaMikdash. In the time of Moshiach, when Yerushalayim, Jerusalem, will be called the throne of God. How did he merit to have the Beit HaMikdash? Well, Binyamin was an incredible tzaddik. He was the youngest of Yaakov's sons, and he always stayed around his father Yaakov. And when Yaakov wanted to walk, he used to use his son's shoulders as a support. So God said, in the future, I'm going to give a support to his place. And also, all the tribes were involved in the sale of Joseph, Yosef, apart from Binyamin. And finally, Binyamin very much desired, he had a desire to have the Shekhinah in his portion. And therefore, he has the blessing of the Beit HaMikdash. After Binyamin, Yosef is blessed. And Yosef was deserving of a special blessing of an incredible, delicious produce, a land. Don't forget, Yosef is the one that gave all of Am Yisrael food when they needed, but all the tribes food when they needed, when they came down to Egypt, and all the entire land. And he never yielded to the persuasions of Potiphar's wife, and he always kept close to God, even in a foreign land. And therefore, his land is sweet and beautiful and blessed by the dew and the rain of the heavens, and it's going to be mountainous, and they're going to have great fruit and vegetation. Moshe also prophesies about one of the great descendants, Yehoshua, and another one, Gideon. In accordance with Moshe's blessings to Yosef, Ephraim's banner bore the picture of an ox, and Manasseh's a re'em, a special animal at the time. Zevulun and Yisachar are next up. Who's Yisachar and Zevulun? Well, these are two tribes, amazing brothers, that were blessed. First, Moshe blesses Zevulun, because Zevulun was a support, a financial support. He would go out into the business, into the markets, into the ships, and to bring in the business. And then he would share his wealth with Yisachar, while Yisachar, v'Yisachar be'oholecha, would learn Torah in the tents of Torah. And that would be an incredible combination of tribes checking out each other and supporting each other. The Tzoror HaMor explains that the name really reads Yesh Sachar, there is reward, and it's hinting that full reward for Torah will be bestowed upon in the world of Yesh. Yesh, we know that in the world to come, is called the world of Yesh, of substance, but also it's a world where we're going to get Kabbalistically, and according to Gemara, 310, Shai Olamot, different worlds, and that is the hint. The person who learns Torah, you might seem, I'm not really producing anything. Well, we are producing something. We're producing spirituality and connection to God Almighty. It's His Torah in a world that is camouflaged with so much physicality. It is very, very important to learn God's Torah. Moshe moves on and speaks to God, and he said, "Blessed be he who extends God's territory." God received as his portion the lands of Sichon and Og, which were on the eastern side of the Jordan. Though less fruitful than the rest of Eretz Israel, this territory was massive, was larger, and extended far to the east. God's tribe marched at the head of the armies as well. They were righteous, and they kept their word to Moshe not to return to the eastern side of the Jordan until after the land's division. And in his blessing, Moshe, in essence, excused God for choosing a portion outside of the land of Israel. And the members of God were partially motivated by the desire to have Moshe's grave in their portion. And they fulfill their duty to the other tribes regarding the conquest of Eretz Yisrael. Dan is blessed next. Dan is strong like a lion. Moshe referred to the fact that Dan, whose territory formed the northern border of Eretz Yisrael, will protect the land from its enemies. The land along the Jordan is well irrigated and it's fertile. And he gives a special blessing to Dan. On with Naphtali. Naphtali's portion in the land satisfies those who live there. It includes the valley of Ginosar, where the fruits ripen first. Whoever sees the luscious, beautiful fruits in his territory gives thanks and praise to God Almighty. And it says he's going to inherit the Sea of the Kinneret and a strip of land to the south where he can spread his fishing nets. The first three letters of Naphtali's blessing, Naphtali, Sheva, Ratzon, allude to Naphtali's swiftness. Neshe, Nun, Shin, Reish. Naphtali was as quick as an eagle. Let Asher be blessed with sons. With the word sons, Moshe referred to Asher's descendants who were nobles and Kohanim, since many of Asher's beautiful daughters married high-ranking Jews. Asher had a blessed land which was dripping with oil, so many olive trees that the oil flowed from them as from a well, and the tribe's members could afford the luxury of bathing in oil. Moshe concluded, "Your land is surrounded by mountains where iron and copper is hewn, and as you are strong in your youth, so you shall be in your old age." Maybe it's good to be around that kind of a land to live a nice old age. Moshe ends with the praise of God and the Jewish people, and Moshe ascends Har Nevo as he's about to pass away. Standing on the top of the mountain, Moshe was shown Eretz Yisrael. God thus granted his wish to see the land. There Moshe would bestow his blessings upon it, making the conquest easier for the Bnei Yisrael. The Almighty let Moshe see places where his successor Yehoshua would never tread. In particular, God showed him sites of future danger and misfortune, causing Moshe to pray for the safety and welfare of his people. He could see everything from the beginning all the way to the end of history, and he was able to partake in an incredible vision. Moshe passes away, special mita by God Almighty directly, and with Moshe's death, the people lose three great gifts. They lost the manna, they lost the well of Miriam, which returned after Miriam died in the honor of Moshe, and the seven clouds of glory, which also returned after Aaron's death in the merit of Moshe. Now that Moshe passed away, each of these three gifts have gone away, but they will be restored to us by God in the future. Moshe's prophecy and miracles surpassed any other prophet. And the Torah finishes with the word Yisrael. And that's interesting because it starts with the word Bereshit, and that hints that the world was created for Am Yisrael. The entire creation was created for Am Yisrael. Hashem conceived the creation of the universe for the sake of the Bnei Yisrael, the people who would study and observe his laws. The last letter in the Torah is a Lamed. The first letter of Bereshit is a Bet. Together that spells Lev. The heart of our nation is the Torah. The heart of the world is the Torah and our service of God. That completes the Torah, and that shows us that when we complete the Torah, it's never really complete. We finish with the Lamed, but we need to restart straight away. And that brings us on to next week's Parsha, the beginning of creation, Bereshit.